God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. Microphone's on. April 2nd, 2023. It's a beautiful sunny day. I checked the weather before service, 23 degrees and felt like 13. Praise God. Good weather. I want to talk this morning about examining our beliefs. Start in Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea." Paul and Silas had been preaching in Thessalonica, and people in Thessalonica got a little stirred up, so that the brethren had to sneak Paul and Silas away. "I sent them to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews, and these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica." That term "fair-minded" there, if you actually go back to the go back to the Greek, and actually the way it's translated in the King James, it says more noble, more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Just before service this morning, I pulled the car around back. I dropped Deb off and pulled the car around back. And I had been listening to the radio flea market on the country station. And I switched over to the AM Christian station out of Champlain. And as I switched over, the pastor out of Moores, New York, was saying, "Each of you has a responsibility. After you hear a message, to look it up, just like those brothers in Berea, to find out whether or not those things were so." I had already printed this before I left the house, by the way. I didn't print it out in the car. We were already going to be talking about those Bereans searching the scriptures, and the brother from Malone, the pastor from Malone, preaching on the radio. Who knows when that was recorded, but it happened to be playing just as I was parking the car, telling his congregation, "Make sure you search the scriptures." This is a message not just for us, not just for Malone, but for each and every believer, that we are required, we are responsible for what it is that we take in and what it is we understand. As a pastor, I am called to watch over your souls. However, when you get to heaven, you can't excuse something you did wrong by saying, "Well, Andrew told me to." I will face judgment for what I do. Each of us will face judgment for what you do. That's why the little blurb on the front of the Bible, the little picture there, says, "Don't just blindly follow a teacher or a preacher. Examine the Bible for yourself." Now, why do I say this? Why do we have this message? A couple of weeks ago, I had brought a message called "Help My Unbelief," and I was talking about how the Scripture says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them." Jesus talking about signs that would follow a believer, and I was saying, why don't we see these things in our current day? We had guests in that day, where we had visitors who had came in, and a young woman and her son. I assumed him to be a teenager, and he was taking copious notes, and he was looking in his scripture. He was following along, and I was very blessed to see that, and then disappointed to see that they haven't been back. And I wonder, as a communicator, it is my responsibility to make sure that the words I say are received the way I meant them. And the problem with that is, I'm not one of those well-educated. Felix would never say of me, "Paul or Andrew, much learning does make you mad." I'm not going to get that much learning thing. But I study the scriptures and I try to follow and I try to put these thoughts into words. And sometimes I might not come out saying things that come up. The message that comes across might not be the message that I had in mind. And I hadn't thought much about that until this week. We watched the documentary. We don't watch a lot of documentaries, but we watched a documentary about the American gospel, and it was talking about the prosperity gospel and the things that are going forth and the word of faith movement and all of that, and how there's that expectation of you go in and there's going to be healing, and those other situations like, well, no, we're not really going to put God to the test. One of the people in the documentary was a gentleman who'd had cerebral palsy from a child. So he was walking in crutches, and he would go up to some of these well-known faith healers, go into their meeting, and he would kind of be ushered aside because that wasn't something they wanted to actually, you know, pray to God for. So when I say I believe we should see miracles, I am not trying to build me or anybody else up. But I'm simply saying that God can. And I believe God can heal. I believe God has. I've seen God heal people. I've seen situations like that, and I fully expect that. I don't ever want to come up to a situation where, oh, God can't touch that. On the other hand, I also don't see God as a, you know, Santa Claus or a cosmic vending machine. I don't want to give that impression that if we call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, this is what your word says, that God is obligated to do things my way, because he's not. God is in heaven and I'm on the earth. Tells me in Ecclesiastes, I should let my words be few. I should be more ready to listen than to give the sacrifice of fools. I should be more ready to hear what God has to say. But there is nothing too hard for my God. So if I've ever given that impression, or if it's ever come across that way, that I think all we have to do is say, God can and God is going to heal, and put him on the clock because God's got to do it in my timing. That's not what I'm trying to communicate. I want to communicate that I serve a loving and merciful God who has shown himself mighty in my life and has shown himself mighty in the lives of people around me, who took this wretched sinner and had a plan and purpose for my life. Take each of us. Has a plan and purpose for our life. And he's called us to be lights in the midst of the darkness. He's called us into this generation. If the God who knit you together in his mother's womb, God who knit you together in your mother's womb, who knows all of your days, according to Psalms, all my days are written in the book before ever any of them were, knows everything about us, pays attention to our thoughts, pays attention to the words of our mouth. If he didn't have a plan and purpose for you in this day and age, then you would be in a different day and age. We talked about going through, week before, going through the genealogy of Jesus and how Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, was 12 years of age when he took the throne. After his father had been given 15 more years of life, God said, set your house in order, you're going to die. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, cried out to the Lord, Lord, remember me for the good. Isaiah the prophet was on his way out of the courtyard. God turned him around and said, go back and tell Hezekiah he's got 15 more years. He comes back in and gives him that word. Hezekiah lives 15 years. At the end of his life, his 12-year-old son takes the throne, who is the most wicked king in history, according to Scripture. But at the end of his days, turned around. But that wicked son is in the genealogy of Jesus. God knew what was going to happen beforehand. And if God knew what was going to happen in that situation, God knew what was going to happen in each and every one of our situations. If he's got us here, he's got us here for a purpose. Because God doesn't waste anything. But to order to understand what God is doing, in order to examine our lives, examine our beliefs, we can't just go blindly through life and say, oh, everything's fine. We need to examine the scriptures. We need to take a look. We need to examine ourselves. Lord, am I doing what you've called me to do? Because if we're not willing to do that, just go through this life, we'll miss what God has in mind for us. We will not accomplish what God has sent us forth to do. Or we'll end up saying, standing before the throne, what did you do with this opportunity? What did you do with this opportunity? I created you to make a difference in these people's lives. What did you do? We need to examine ourselves. God is the one who directs our steps. God is the one who leads us and guides us. But whether or not we are obedient to God is between us and Him. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you unless you are disqualified? But examine ourselves. Jesus told the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. Imagine that. I'm just drifting along fine. Everything's good. The world is a wonderful place. The world is my oyster, as the saying says. And not paying attention to the things, to the decisions I make or the actions I have. We need to examine ourselves. We need to take a look. We need to examine what we believe. The gospel, very simply, is that God's standard is perfection. And I fall short, and you fall short, and everyone falls short. But the gift of God is that Jesus came and paid the price for our sin so that we might boldly come before the throne of grace, so that we might stand in righteousness, that we might stand in right standing with a holy God because of what Jesus did on our behalf. And if everything we do doesn't go back to and isn't built on that foundation, that by myself I cannot approach a holy God, but because of Jesus, I'm welcomed. If our belief system, if our understanding doesn't go back to the fact that it is only the mercy of God that allows me into His throne room because of what Jesus did on my behalf, because God sent a perfect sacrifice to pay the price for my sin and to impart to me His righteousness, so that I don't stand before a holy God in my righteousness. I stand before a holy God in the righteousness of Jesus. I have nothing to bring to the table. I have nothing to earn the favor of God. I have only the gratitude and love in my heart that He reached out and called me. Jesus paid the price for my sin and granted me His righteousness so that I stand before a holy God cleansed. I stand before a holy God in perfection. I don't see that looking in the mirror, but God sees the end from the beginning. I can just see the work in progress, and sometimes the work sitting on the shelf not making a lot of progress. But God is at work in me. I have to go back and examine so that I'm not taking God for granted. I'm not taking His grace and His mercy for granted. Paul said, so because of grace should we continue to sin? He says, absolutely not. That's an absurd thought. But where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. When we recognize our sin, we recognize how wonderful it is that God forgave us. How wonderful it is that He's drawn us close. And it should always go back to a heart of gratitude of what He has done on our behalf. James talks about show me your faith by your show me your faith and I'll show you my works. So faith without works is dead. But we don't work to gain God's favor. We work out of gratitude of what God has done. I tell people often that heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destination. Our goal
is to draw others there. Our goal is to lead others there. Our goal is to be a witness and point the way so that others might recognize that if God can take this messed up person, imagine what he could do with somebody as good as you. Let God work in your lives. Psalm 26, beginning with verse 1. Says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." Stop right there for a minute. The psalmist is saying, "Lord, I'm doing everything I know to do, but Father, watch over me. Examine me. Vindicate me. Work in my heart. I'm doing everything I know to do, but teach me more, that I might know more of you and might walk more in your ways." Verse 4, "I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence so that I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all your wondrous works." Stop right there for a minute. The goal of all of this, the goal of our life, is to tell people about the wondrous works of God. What has he done in your life? What are you sharing with others about what he's done in your life? As we, Deb and I, get ready to go back down to Florida, people that have known me, no one in Vermont has known me for more than 25 years. No one in the state. No one in this state has known me before I started serving the Lord, before I came back to God after being away for so long. When I get around people that have known me, they are amazed. I connect with my Navy buddies. They are completely blown away. You are a preacher? We take for granted sometimes what God has done because it was so long ago. I have been walking with the Lord, back with the Lord for 30 years. Praise God. I never expected to live to see 30 years of age because of the way I was living. But I've been walking with the Lord again for 30 years. And he is still working in me. And he'll still bring up things like, "Here's an issue you had forgot about." Or had ignored or had just forgotten or just not paid attention to. And things will come back up. Even in my life, even after 30 years of walking with the Lord, after 30 years of reading his word, after 30 years of applying his grace to my life, after 30 years of confessing sin, after 30 years of trying to lay things down, something will come up. But you know what? God is at work in me, working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is fulfilling his word in my life. And he's fulfilling his word in your life. He's drawing you to a closer and deeper walk. Our face does not yet shine so much we had to put a veil on like Moses did when he came down from the mountain. There are still people around you who need to see God working through you. Praise God, he's at work. He hasn't given up. He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. I don't know about you. I grab onto that scripture and hang on for dear life. Because when I see, you know, David said, "I know my faults and my sin are ever before me." When I see my shortcomings, I know that God is still at work. And God has known about it since before I was born. Remember, all my days were written in the book. He knew my failures. He knew my shortcomings. He called me anyway. He uses me anyway. But he's drawing me ever closer. He's drawing you ever closer to seek his face and to draw near to him. But look at Scripture. Examine your beliefs. Know what you believe. I'll get to that in a minute. Finally, verse 8. "Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells." Do we love to draw near to God? Do we love to seek his face? Do we love to sit at his feet?
Dude, we'd love to say, Lord, I just want to be you. I want to be with you.
I don't want to be distracted by all the things going on around me, Lord. I don't want to be pulled away. I want to be able to focus on you. Lamentations 3, verses 40 and 41 says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to the God of heaven. So we've seen a verse in Acts talking about searching the scriptures. We've seen a verse in Corinthians talking about examining yourself for the faith. We see a verse in Lamentations talking about turning back to the Lord.
Hosea.
And Hosea says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will lift us up. But it starts with, come, let us go back to the Lord. We've allowed ourselves to drift. The prophet is saying to the people, we've allowed ourselves to drift. But if we examine ourselves, have we been coasting, or are we drawing close to the Lord? Behind the house we're going to be staying in when we go back to Florida, it's my aunt's house. It was my grandparents' house for many years until they passed. It's right on the Ocalotne River. It is 5 miles up from the Gulf of Mexico. And when the tide is coming in, it's a very gently flowing river against the tide. And when the tide is going out, you will not swim against that. You will not row against that. If you don't have a big motor, you're not going to power up that river against that. As we go through life, we can be carried away by the currents. We can be carried away by things that are going on unless we make a conscious effort to draw close to the Lord. In 2 Timothy 1, beginning with verse 8, Paul talking to Timothy there says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began. The grace of God was given to you in Christ Jesus before time began. God's plan and purpose for your life predates your birthday, predates your parents' birthday. God, who looked down through the pages of time, who sees the end from the beginning, knew the plans and purposes he had for you all the way back, and calls us and uses us and works in us. Verse 10, but now it's been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Are we persuaded? Are we fully convinced of who Jesus is? Are we fully convinced of his plan and purpose for our lives? Excuse me. Are we fully invested in seeking his plan and his purpose and his will in our lives? Or do we allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and just family turmoil and anything else to get in the way? Do we focus on our needs rather than focus on our provider? Do we focus on the future or do we focus on the one who holds the future in his hands? Do we focus on our own benefit or well-being, or do we seek what God would have us to do, how he would have us to be a blessing for others? examine ourselves, examine your belief, examine your life, examine your walk. Deb, skip down to James 1. James 1, verse 22. Says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kinds of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed by the Lord? As we go into his word, as we examine ourselves, as we find those areas where we fall short, as we find those areas where our life is not pleasing to the Lord, we repent and we plead with the Lord to help us. Many years ago, the other day, you have yesterday, the day before, and the other day, and the other day can be 40 years ago. I have no clue how long ago it was. It wasn't all that long ago, but my grandparents were still alive. My parents were still alive. So it's been a while. God had been working in me because I was very bitter and angry against my ex-wife. And the scripture, you know, one morning reading the scripture, all of a sudden God puts that scripture in there that catches your attention. Where he says, unless you forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And it just pierced my heart. And I began crying out, Lord, I want to be obedient to your word. Your word tells me I have to forgive, and I don't know how. But I need you to work it in me. And as I began crying out to the Lord to work that forgiveness in me, and continually her name would come up and I would be bitter and angry. And I'd cry out to the Lord, Lord, work it in me. Then suddenly, one day, after however long it was of crying out, one day her name came up, and I wasn't angry. And I wasn't mad. And I realized that God had done what I'd been pleading with him to do. And it was shortly after that, that we were in Florida visiting my grandparents, and then gone on and on the way back, stopped in Valdosta, Georgia to visit my dad and stepmom in the house that they had rented for 1 month while they were waiting to move into a house that they had bought. They were in the house 1 month. We were in the house one night. The one night we were there was the night my ex-wife called them trying to find out how to get a hold of me. I was sitting right there when she called. But it didn't happen until after God had been working in my heart, revealing a scripture to me, nudging that area of my life. And I was willing to lay it down. Lord, I will to forgive. I don't know how, but I want to. I want to be obedient to your word. As we look at scripture, God will bring scriptures to our heart, and then all of a sudden it'll be highlighted. It'll be like, you know, the beam of light shining right on the one scripture, and it just brings it and just impacts our life. If we will say, Lord, I want to obey your word. Lord, work it in me, and continue to go, not give up, not just do a one-time, okay, Lord, that's what your word says, good for me. We're actually crying out to the Lord, Lord, change my heart. We're willing to let God change our heart, change our lives. He will do wondrous things in us. But if we just say everything is good, just say there's no issues. Just say, I'm perfect. Lord, I thank you that I'm like not like other men. I'm not like this Pharisee, this publican over here, this tax collector. I have all my good stuff. I fast twice in a week. I tithe all of this stuff. Lord, just look at me. We say, Lord, help me. Lord, you've called me to be a light.
Father, get rid of the darkness in me so that the light can shine through. Examine your beliefs. Examine your heart. Examine your lives. And let God change you. Let God change me. Because out there, there's people who don't know the Lord. And all they see is turmoil. And when they look at the church is getting ridiculed on media and all these different places. You got division between members, between churches and between people claiming to be Christians. You got people claiming to be Christians with, they'll put the fish symbol on their business and then cheat. All these things happen. And the cause of Christ gets a bad name. So let us be the lights. Let us be the faithful witnesses who will not lie. Let us show that God can touch and change anyone. Examine your beliefs. Examine your life. And ask God to shine a searchlight in us. Lord, search my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, change me so that you can be glorified in my life. Lord, change me so that you can use me to touch the people around us because they need it so desperately. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. You are the one who stirs in hearts. You are the one who draws us by your Spirit. You are the one who have redeemed our lives from destruction. You deserve all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And Father, there have been times where we have been unfaithful witnesses. There have been times, Father, where we haven't been diligent. There have been times, Father, where we haven't shown the light of your love to the people we encounter. There have been times, Lord, we've allowed obstacles to obscure your light in our lives. Lord, forgive us. Draw us by your Spirit. Work in us that you be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. For you are worthy of praise. We are inadequate vessels. It is only through your grace and love and mercy that we are allowed to even able to be here. But you are gracious. Father, work through us that others might see who you are. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.